About halfway through the tour, it was obvious that Graceland was an awful long way past its sell-by date. The place was filthy and neglected, with stains on the carpets. Several of the floor displays of clothing and mementos had deteriorated to such an extent they were actually rotting.
This is dreadful. It's the saddest thing I ever saw, any place, any time.
But their guide, Maybelline Blackwell, seemed totally oblivious to the ghostly charnel house that she showed them. Her commentary could have been written for her back in the pre-dark days, when Graceland was one of the most popular tourist attractions in the country, with hundreds of thousands of eager visitors thronging its rooms and gardens, soaking in the almost religious atmosphere of awe and respect.
This was one of the king's favorite stage outfits, with the eagle decoration, the whole covered with precious and semi-precious jewels.
Doc stared at the faded frayed material and the discolored stones.
Glass and paste.
The golden piano that you see ahead of you, past the beautiful bust of Elvis by a famed sculptor, was gilded for Elvis by Priscilla in 1968 as a gift on their first wedding anniversary. The instrument is a valuable 1928 Kimball Concert Grand.
She, triple ugly, it got worms in the legs.
This is one of 11 TV sets throughout Graceland. Most of them gifts from the king's recording company, RCA Victor. In his latter days, Elvis would sometimes have them all on, tuned to different channels. A habit he learned from President Johnson while he moved around eating some of his favorite snack food.
They moved on to a room that was decorated in a kind of kitsch Polynesian style. The guide saw the expressions of amazement on their faces and took it for admiration.
I see how impressed you are with Elvis's favorite room in the entire Graceland complex, the jungle room. Isn't it just really something?
Yeah, Maybelline. It's really just something.
It was in this very room that Elvis recorded his best-selling album in 1976, entitled From Elvis Presley Boulevard, Memphis, Tennessee. Copies of some of his records can still be obtained on vinyl or CD at the Elvis souvenir stand across the way, though I'm not certain that it's open today. We don't get quite as many folks as we used to.
Oh.
The Countess had made her boredom obvious in the first 10 minutes. She was always the first to leave a particular suite or room, eager to get on with the tour.
Through this window, you can glimpse Elvis's famous pink Cadillac. It is the 1955 Fleetwood Series 60 that he bought for his beloved mother. Sadly, the elements of weather have done some harm to the automobile.
Can we visit the grave?
I'm afraid not. There has been a sorrowful increase in interference with the memorials, and we have had to limit access to nil access.
They continued to move through the 23 rooms and 8 bathrooms in the rotting mausoleum that had once been Graceland. The trophy room included row upon row of Elvis's golden discs, more than 160 of them, though there were gaps in the collection, and several of the records were badly tarnished, with peeling labels.
Sadly, some damp has intruded here, and also callous thieves have made off with souvenirs from the collection.
They passed through room after room, all tired and sad, barely redolent of the hothouse atmosphere of Graceland that existed when its owner was in residence. Somehow the sorry spirit of Elvis haunted it, with the aura of physical and moral decay.
And that just about concludes our tour of the house.
Oh, it's pitiful. This isn't the memorial that Elvis Presley should have. A spider-veiled, mice-nibbled, worm-gnawed tomb that's rotting in on itself. Someone should do something. He really was the king, John. I feel like I should do something about it.
Everyone followed Maybelline outside.
Apart from the meditation garden, which is denied access, you may visit the grounds of Graceland. We hope you have enjoyed your visit here and will come back and see us again real soon. Tell your friends. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The companions all felt downcast at the sorry, rundown spectacle that Graceland had fallen to. Ryan looked around, suddenly noticing that Mildred was missing.
Anyone seen Mildred?
Millie?
Yeah.
Oh, she thought she might have left something behind, and she just went back to get it.
What?
What? How do you mean?
What did she leave behind?
Have we lost a member of our party? Oh, dear me. I don't know what she thought she might have forgot.
Here she comes.
Mildred emerged from a side door a little farther up the gardens of Graceland, stopping in her tracks when she saw everyone was staring at her.
Wait, where have you been? I just hope you haven't been pilfering. Oh, dear. We get so much of that these days. Now, we have no security. From what I hear of the olden days...
Oh, don't worry. I didn't take anything from this place. Nothing I'd want to take.
Mildred turned to the others.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Can we go now?
The Countess's arms were folded, constantly checking the time on a platinum Rolex wristwatch.
I'm ready.
Doc had been leaning on his sword stick, looking across the boulevard at the blighted, ugly stores.
I confess that this is a miserable place. And I... Oh!
An expression of surprise crossed his face, and he touched the side of his stomach.
What is it, Doc? You all right?
Not very all right, as it happens, dear lad. A rather nasty stabbing pain in my belly. Quite ferocious, as if I'd swallowed a fox.
You've gone real pale.
I'm not at my best. Perhaps if we might return to the house and I could lie down. Indigestion would be my most likely diagnosis, I think.
Mildred didn't say anything for a moment, studying him carefully.
Too low for indigestion. Stabbing, did you say?
Oh, like a knife of fire, my dear doctor. Indeed, I would be grateful if I could lie down in the back of the wag, or I fear that I might pass out. My hearing has gone rather fuzzy, and the world seems to be moving away from me.
Mildred turned to the guards.
Get him in the wag, quickly.
She then turned to the Countess, who had showed very little interest in the small drama.
Can we move now?
Of course. Ryan, you'll drive with me again.
No. I go with Doc. Sorry, Countess.
The Countess nodded, her face like a mask hewn from living marble, showing no trace of emotion.
Very well. I understand, Ryan. Believe me, I do. Straub, I wish to talk to you. Come with me.
Of course, Countess. Delighted. I am honored, most honored.
The Countess stalked off towards her Mercedes with Straub.
Thank you and goodbye, dear lady.
Doc was sagging at the knees, supported by Jack on one side and by a guard on the other. Mildred was ushering them toward the rear of the nearest wag.
Just lie down for now, Doc.
Any idea what it is? He's not having a heart attack, is he?
I think not. I have an idea, but I'll need to examine him properly as soon as we're back at the Ville. Then I'll know. Might be less than good news.
Mildred kept looking rather distractedly back at Graceland, as though she expected something to have happened. But she finally moved to the wag and climbed in.
See you there.
Sure, John. John?
Yeah, what is it, Millie?
What's the maximum delay on an incendiary grenade?
Maximum's 20 minutes on the ones they had in the big house.
The wag pulled away, taking Mildred, Doc, and Jack with it.
20 minutes. I reckon we better get out.
I don't get it. Has Mildred set off a burner in Graceland?
Isn't she something? Said how much she hated what had happened to Elvis's home. Shameful. Wasn't worthy. Well, I guess she's gone and done something about it.
Ryan looked towards the chief of the sect men.
Need to get going back to the Ville.
Everyone aboard?
Countess Katya and Straub were already 3 or 4 miles ahead, down the highway toward the Ville.
Do you think you can do what I ask of you, Straub?
Of course, most exalted one. Yes, I can.
The three friends sat together near the tailgate, looking behind them as the wag lumbered eastward. JB kept checking his wrist chron.
I make that past the 20 minutes maximum now, if that's what she said it for. Depends where she hid it, but we should be seeing some sign in the next minute or so. When they go, those babies really go.
They all saw the sudden flash of flame, rising 50 or 60 feet into the air, followed by a pillar of smoke, erupting much higher, until the southerly breeze started to tear its top apart.
There.
That just one grin?
Don't know, but Millie must have placed it near the heating. Oil or gas, whatever. Whole place is gone. Did what she wanted.
All five friends were standing in the dimly lit corridor, outside the room where Doc had been sedated with a few drugs that were held in the Ville's pharmacy.
Appendicitis.
Are you sure?
Sure as can be. All the symptoms. The main thing is precisely where the pain's located. I can't think of anything else it could be.
Phew. That's a bad one. Most of the people I've known that had it bought the farm with that.
But remember, I'm not a general surgeon, Ryan. Freezing was my field, and I was real good at that. I mean, I did stuff like this when I was a student and then a junior resident a long while ago. And I don't just mean the 100 years passed since Skydark.
So what can you do, Mildred?
An infected and inflamed appendix means two things. It'll go down and get better, but maybe flare up again once in a while, days or weeks or months, or never. Or it won't go down at all. It'll burst, peritonitis will set in, and death.
They all stood silent. Since they'd gotten back to the fortified mansion, they'd seen no sign of either the Countess or of Straub. The Sekhmen had been helpful, carrying Doc up to the room and showing Mildred the limited supplies of pharmaceuticals that were held in the Ville.
How long can we wait?
Well, damn sure not until it's too late. I'm sort of sure it's bad news. It's a lot of pain, fever, intense localized tenderness. If I'm going to try and operate to save the old buzzard, then I think I'll have to start within the hour, no longer.
Someone should see the Countess. Tell her what's going on. We need her support. I can go.
Better be me. The rest of you work with the Sekhmen and get everything ready. See what tools and knives and stuff you can get, Mildred. Maybe from the kitchens for the best blades. I'll go see the Countess.
He will die if you don't operate on him?
We believe so.
And this Negress is a real doctor?
Yeah, just that we need your say-so to go ahead with it. Is it all right?
You come to me, Ryan, my dear man, with a request that only I can grant, which means life or death. Does this sound familiar to you and your friends?
Ryan stood silent for a moment, seeing only too clearly what she meant. He decided that if she pushed it, then he would yield, agree to sleep with her, if it meant the chance of saving Doc's life.
Go and do this operation, Ryan Carter. It's not necessary to try and get what I want this way. The other options are more sure.
What's that mean?
Nothing.
Must mean something.
Time will show us all, Ryan. Now that same time is passing by, and your friend could be on his way down the slippery slope. Go and save him.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
For a moment, he considered kissing her on the cheek, but then decided against it. Mildred had elected to try to operate down in the main kitchen area of the Ville. It had the best lights, a large table, and plenty of hot water. Doc was delirious, his head rolling, his eyes staring wildly, as JB and Ryan wheeled him through the hallways on a stretcher they'd borrowed.
Turn the right flank, mon commandant, or we are lost. Save the hussars, and we save Moscow. It will take more than a French musket ball to keep me from Corunna. Rally, stout hearts, and let us seek glory in the cannon's mouth. Onward, onward.
By the time they reached the kitchen with him, Doc had fallen into a deep sleep.
Everything's ready.
The kitchen ovens were scorching hot, with cauldrons of water bubbling and steaming. On a side table, Mildred had laid out a number of silver needles, already threaded with stout cord, and an amazing array of different knives. Ryan and JB gently lifted Doc to the table.
Now, one thing I don't have is any anesthetic. We'll have to go in quick and accurate. Ryan, hold his head still. JB, you take Doc's feet. Christy, try and keep his hands out of the way. It's the best we can do.
Mildred had three of the brighter Sekhmen standing ready to help with swabs, cloth, and water. Straub entered, closely followed by Countess Katia Beausoleil.
Would you like liquor to help take away the pain, Dr. Wyeth?
No. He's out cold. He'll probably come around, but I'm hoping it'll be quick.
I can use my silver disc and it will be easy.
Mildred hesitated, knowing that Straub spoke the truth.
No, I'd have to bring him around and that'll mean a lot of pain. Damn thing's about ready to burst as it is. I'm starting right now.
Ryan watched, unmoving, as she picked up one of the shorter, broad blades, bringing it close to Doc's wrinkled, taut stomach. He was holding the old man's head, tight in both hands, braced against any movement. At the far end of the whitewood table, JB was leaning on Doc's feet. Christy was sprawled across his chest, both his hands held firmly in hers. Doc seemed to be deeply unconscious, though his eyelids flickered and his lips were moving silently. Mildred made the first straight, deep cut.
Swab the blood, Jack. Could do with clamps to hold the sides back. I have to do what I can. All right, Jack, just like how I told you.
Mildred held the gash open as Jack used the longest, thinnest flensing blade to cut through something that gleamed a yellowish white. Jack held the appendix triumphantly in his right hand. Mildred quickly swabbed the gushing tide of crimson that flowed from the wound, then sewed him up.
Whew. Done.
Wow, that was quick. And Doc never even moved.
At that precise moment, Doc's blue eyes opened.
Thank you, Mama. The agony has somewhat abated.
He fell back into the blackness.
That was quite brilliant, Dr. Wyeth. If you were to choose to stay here in the Ville and serve the Countess, then I'm certain your financial reward would be beyond your dreams.
I'm not interested in Jack, Straub, but thanks for the offer.
Sure, sure.
Is he all right? He's breathing slow.
He's gone into clinical shock. Not surprised at that. Now he can relax.
She held up the appendix, showing it around the room.
See the size and color? Doc was almost knock-knock-knocking on Heaven's door. Another hour, and it might have burst, and I'm not sure I could have saved him without proper facilities.
Will you leave him here in the middle of my kitchen? I would prefer it if he could be moved to his own room.
Oh, of course. Your roast pork and three vegetables comes before the health of a frail old man, doesn't it, Countess?
You hold your damned impudent tongue, or I'll have it hacked off at the roots and nailed to the door of the outside, John.
I don't think so. Not unless you're planning on having a mass burial pretty soon.
The Countess pointed a finger at Ryan, turning toward the three watching sec men.
If I tell you, you're to chill all the outlanders, on my word.
Again, I don't think so. By the time these boys draw the Rugers and get them into action, we'll have them down in the blood and dirt. Let's just keep it calm, Countess.
The unstoppable up against the immovable. One must bend, or break, or both.
Oh, it's cool. Doc can be moved carefully. Ryan, you and John do that.
Sure. Maybe we can all go up and take a break. Thanks a lot for the help and letting us save Doc's life down there, Countess. I appreciate it.
How much?
Plenty.
Enough to do what I asked?
I'm sorry. No, not that. But we are truly grateful.
Go out of my sight, outlanders.
The Countess turned toward the door, then stopped.
Oh, we have caught a traitor among our sectmen. He will be executed this afternoon at 3, out back of the Ville. I would want you to see how we punish those who are not faithful to us.
They were all gathered around Doc's bed when the old man finally blinked awake from his coma. He held his head from side to side, the mane of silvery hair matted with sweat, his face lined with pain.
The agony has not, after all, abated. Can you do nothing for me, Dr. Wyeth? What of your Hippocratic oath to aid the afflicted?
I've aided you, Doc.
Then why am I still torn by the vultures while chained helpless to this mighty boulder?
The pain'll be bad right now, though they had some tablets in their pharmacy that should work. Herbal stuff. I got you to swallow them just after the operation.
Operation?
Yeah.
You mean that I have gone under the knife, and the knife was held by you, ma'am? Oh, my worst possible nightmare, and I didn't even know it was happening.
You had real bad appendicitis. Already had one foot on the westbound train.
My appendix. Yes, that makes sense for the pain and where it lay. And you operated and took it out, Doctor?
Sure did.
And I yet live?
So far, so good, Doc.
He reached out a trembling hand, and she took it, holding it gently.
Oh, you and I have had many a falling out over the long months together, Doctor. But I want you to know that it was all in jest. Well, I would say that at least 90% of it was in jest. 80%.
Oh, hell, Doc. I knew that.
Everyone turned as Straub's bald head appeared through the bedroom door.
Countess is ready. All hands to witness punishment.